Chapter 6. 7 Seconds in the Bronx. The Delicate Art of Mind Reading. The 1100 block of Wheeler Avenue in the Soundview neighborhood of the South Bronx is a narrow street of modest two-story houses and apartments. At one end is the bustle of Westchester Avenue, the neighborhood's main commercial strip, and from there, the block runs about 200 yards, flanked by trees and twin rows of parked cars. The buildings were built in the early part of the last century. Many have an ornate facade of red brick, with 4 or 5 step stoops leading to the front door. It is a poor and working-class neighborhood, and in the late 1990s, the drug trade in the area, particularly on Westchester Avenue and one block over on Elder Avenue, was brisk. Soundview is just the kind of place where you would go if you were an immigrant in New York City who was looking to live somewhere cheap and close to a subway. And that's why Amadou Diallo made his way to Wheeler Avenue. Diallo was from Guinea. In 1999, he was 22 and working as a peddler in Lower Manhattan, selling videotapes and socks and gloves from the sidewalk along 14th Street. He was short and unassuming, about 5'6" and 150 pounds, and he lived at 1157 Wheeler, on the second floor of one of the street's narrow apartment houses. On the night of February 3, 1999, Diallo returned home to his apartment just before midnight, talked to his roommates, and then went downstairs and stood at the top of the steps to his building, taking in the night. A few minutes later, a group of plainclothes police officers turned slowly onto Wheeler Avenue in an unmarked Ford Taurus. There were 4 of them, all white, all wearing jeans and sweatshirts and baseball caps and bulletproof vests, and all carrying police-issue 9mm semi-automatic handguns. They were part of what is called the Street Crime Unit, a special division of the New York City Police Department, dedicated to patrolling crime hotspots in the city's poorest neighborhoods. Driving the Taurus was Ken Boss. He was 27. Next to him was Sean Carroll, 35, and in the back seat were Edward McMillan, 26, and Richard Murphy, 26. It was Carroll who spotted Diallo first. "Hold up, hold up," he said to the others in the car. "What's that guy doing there?" Carroll claimed later that he had 2 thoughts. One was that Diallo might be the lookout for a push-in robber, that is, a burglar who pretends to be a visitor and pushes his way into people's apartments. The other was that Diallo fitted the description of a serial rapist who had been active in the neighborhood about a year earlier. "He was just standing there," Carroll recalled. "He was just standing on the stoop, looking up and down the block, peeking his head out, and then putting his head back against the wall. Within seconds, he does the same thing, looks down, looks right. And it appeared that he stepped backwards into the vestibule as we were approaching, like he didn't want to be seen. And then we passed by, and I'm looking at him, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. What's this guy up to?" Boss stopped the car and backed up until the Taurus was right in front of 1157 Wheeler. Diallo was still there, which Carroll would later say amazed him. "I'm like, all right, definitely something is going on here." Carroll and McMillan got out of the car. "Police," McMillan called out, holding up his badge. "Can we have a word?" Diallo didn't answer. Later, it emerged that Diallo had a stutter, so he may well have tried to say something but simply couldn't. What's more, his English wasn't perfect, and it was rumored as well that someone he knew had recently been robbed by a group of armed men, so he must have been terrified. Here he was, outside in a bad neighborhood after midnight with 2 very large men in baseball caps, their chests inflated by their bulletproof vests, striding toward him. Diallo paused and then ran into the vestibule. Carroll and McMillan gave chase. Diallo reached the inside door and grabbed the doorknob with his left hand while, as the officers would later testify, turning his body sideways and digging into his pocket with his other hand. "Show me your hands," Carroll called out. McMillan was yelling too. "Get your hands out of your pockets. Don't make me fucking kill you." But Diallo was growing more and more agitated, and Carroll was starting to get nervous too, because it seemed to him that the reason Diallo was turning his body sideways was that he wanted to hide whatever he was doing with his right hand.